realizing that, you can be seated this morning. What a great day to be in the house of the Lord. Hey, thanks for coming today, man. It's so cool. So I'll just tell you this observation that I've had over 22 years of pastoring. Church has been praying for rain for 2 years, and then it rains, and the church don't show up on Sunday morning. That's just the way it is, man. What can you say? So rather than being angry at them, we just say, you know what? I don't care if they're here or not. I'm going to preach to the ones that are here. Like one of my and Jennifer's and the kids' favorite entertainers is Charlie Daniels, man, before he died. And so we went and seen Charlie Daniels one time in Fort Worth, and I never will forget. Charlie Daniels said, I have adopted this theory in life. Never look at the empty seats. The empty seats don't matter. It's the ones that showed up that matter. And if two show up or 2,000, I'm going to give them all I've got every time. So you better get ready because I'm locked and loaded. I'm ready for you this morning. Welcome, man. Ephesians chapter number 1. If you got your Bible, you got your iPad, your phone, whatever device you might have, if you bought a book of Ephesians, let's turn there. Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to read verse 12 through 14 today. And then we'll just pray and see what the Lord might say to us and challenge us with today. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12 through 14 says this, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, everybody say truth. In him, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Holy Spirit, we ask you to speak to us today. Holy Spirit, I ask you to anoint me to preach your word, your message. I pray you anoint hearts and minds to hear, to receive, to be convicted, to be encouraged. We just ask you to speak to us today. We need to hear from you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. So we're going to talk about three things today. I'm going to tell you straight up front, three things we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about hope. We're going to talk about salvation. And we're going to talk about the seal of the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about hope, talk about our salvation, and the seal of the Holy Spirit. But before we do that, I think it is so important that we note and that we remember who is the author of the book of Ephesians. Who is it that's writing this book? Who is it that's writing Ephesians? And it's Paul, once known as Saul, once a man who was a persecutor of the church, once Saul, a man who was the enemy of the church, converted, had an encounter with Jesus Christ. Now he is Paul, and he's going to go on to be a driving force in the first century church, a driving force in the kingdom of God. You need to know, Paul is a Jew. Paul is a Jew. And in light of the current situation in our world, I want us to talk about the current situation in our world. In light of the current situation in our world, it is important for you and I as Christians. It is important for you and I as born-again believers. It is important for you and I as Bible believers. It's important for us to understand our relationship with Israel, with Jerusalem, and with the Jewish people. It's important for us to understand that. And our relationship with Israel and with Jerusalem and with the Jews is based on the word of God. How many know the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord remains forever? It's the word of God. Here's what Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6 through 8. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6 through 8. Here's what it says about Israel, about Jerusalem, about God's chosen people, the Jews. Verse 6, Deuteronomy 7, 6. God says, for you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession. Out of all the people on the face of the earth, God chose Israel. It's not because you were more in number than the other people that God loved you and God chose you, for you were the fewest of all. But it's because the Lord loves Israel and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery and from the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. It is important for you and I to know that scripturally, the Jewish people are God's chosen people. It's important for us to know that. I want to say this right quick. There's wars going on right now. There's a war going on between Hamas and Jerusalem. There's wars going on between the Palestinians and the Israelis. And maybe you are here going, I don't like war. I don't know what's going on. Where are we? What is this? I'll say this to you. War sucks, but war is absolutely necessary sometimes. War is necessary. There will always be casualties of war. War is ugly. But the scripture once again teaches us in Ecclesiastes 3:8, there is a time to love. There is a time to hate. There is a time for war. And there is a time for peace. In light of this current war between the Israelis and the Palestinians, once again, we got to know, as Bible-believing children, we stand with God, we stand with God's word, and we stand with God's people. In spite of what you see on television, can I tell you, look at me, look. The media in America right now will spin it however they want to spin it to make you believe what they want you to believe. America's news, even, CNN, even Fox, all of them, they will spin it to make you believe what they want you to believe. We must believe the word of God and not what our favorite reporter says. We must believe no matter, in spite of what we hear on television, in spite of what we hear on the internet. And can I say this to the young people and the college and high school kids? You can see anything and hear anything on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter, and on TikTok. In spite of what you hear that is popular, in spite of what you hear that goes along with culture, you and I must stand and we must believe the word of Almighty God. Because the word of God trumps everything else, and the word of God is our guide. We stand with Israel. We stand with Israel. Genesis 12, here's a promise of God. How many of you know the promises of God are yes and amen? God promises, he always comes through. Here's the promise of God, Genesis 12, verse 1 through 3. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and from your family and your father's house to the land I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great. If you study scripture, you know this is the land of Israel. And I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. Listen to me. Watch verse number 3. God says, I will bless those that bless you, Israel. I will bless those that bless Israel. I will stand, I will bless those that stand with Israel. I will bless those that bless Israel. I will bless those that bless you, and him who dishonors you, Israel, I will curse you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Biblically speaking, God gave the Jewish people the land of Israel. He promised to protect them, and he promised to bless those that bless them. We stand with Israel. I would encourage you to pray for Israel. I would encourage you to pray for Israel. I would encourage you to pray for God's people who are in the middle of a war, who are in the middle of a struggle, who it's ugly right now. Psalm 122:6, it instructs us and it commands us, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Pray for peace. Now let me tell you something. Look at me right quick. Peace is not going to come in Israel if everybody just gets around the campfire and smokes the peace pipe like in the old John Wayne movies and decides to get along. That's not the way it's going to be. It's a war, and somebody has to win the war. And the only way that peace is going to come in the Middle East is if Israel rises up and if Israel wins the battle against Hamas and against the enemy and against everything else. Pray for peace. Pray for strength in Israel. We stand with Israel. So Paul, this Jewish man, he's writing this letter to the church, and he says this, we were the first to hope in you. Jesus came to save the Jews. Jesus is the King of the Jews, and he's saying, us as Jews, we had hope in you first, but he said, now this gospel has been opened up to Jew and to Gentile. It's been opened up to everyone. Can I tell you that when the scripture refers to Gentiles, it means everyone that is not of the Jewish race. Now you and I, who once were far from God, you and I, who were not the Jewish people, but now because of the blood of Jesus Christ and because God sent his only son, now we can come and we can have hope in Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about hope. Everybody shout hope. Hope is this. It's the expectation of a positive future. How many of you have hope today? In the middle of Israel wars, in the middle of the struggle in the Middle East, in the middle of our economy being lower than it's ever been, in the middle of inflation being higher than it's ever been, in the middle of our country that's being divided, we can still stand here as children of God and say we have hope, we have expectation of a positive future. Because God is still God and God is still on the throne. I've had people say to me all the time, you know what, Cody, I'm just losing hope. I'm just losing hope. I remember back during the Wuhan flu, the China flu, whatever you want to call it. Everybody's like, I'm just losing hope. I'm just losing hope. And you know my response to people that say I'm losing hope, you know what I say to them? If you're losing hope, your hope is in the wrong thing. If you're losing hope, if your hope is in this government, you're losing. If your hope is in the education system, if your hope is in a man, if your hope is in a particular church, if your hope is in anything else besides the everlasting God, then you will lose hope. But if your hope is in Christ Jesus, the one that defeated death, hell, and the grave, the one that is alive forevermore, if your hope is in Jesus, you'll never lose hope. Never lose hope. Hope is so important. I meet people all the time, they've lost, they have no hope. No positive expectation of the future. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says this, these three things remain. I don't know about you, sometimes I just need to boil it down to what's the bottom line. Bottom line is three things that remain. Faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. Like have faith in God, love your neighbors, and have hope. Bottom line, you got to have hope. Romans 15:13 says this, may the God of hope. How many of you know God has an expectation of a positive future for you, Brian Parmalee? God has a positive expectation for you, Caleb, for you, Ken. God has a positive expectation of your future. So may the God of hope fill you and I with all joy and peace in believing so that the power of the Holy Spirit may abound in you in hope. If we have hope in God, we'll have joy. How many know the church needs some joy? Come on, somebody. How many know we need some joy? Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And it all starts with having hope in God. The hope of God fills us. We have joy, and then we have peace. Then we have peace, because right now, everybody's ringing their mind. Everybody's like, oh, my God, it's the Middle East. Oh, my God, it's the end of the world. Oh, my God, it's end times. What are we going to do? It's a mess. It's a wreck. I'm scared. I'm worried. But if your hope is in God and in a resurrected Savior, you won't need anxiety pills. You won't need Ambien to sleep. You'll just live in the presence of God and say, God has got it all under control. Oh, my gosh. I know who that is, but I'm not calling his name out. But I cannot believe that he left his phone on in church. He was my ex-school teacher, and if I had left my phone on in his class, he would have taken me out of class and sent me to the principal's office and busted my butt over and over again. Dear Lord, help me to focus right now. Please, Lord, help me not say his name, because I want to say his name so bad right now, but I just cannot. Hope. Everybody shout hope. Let's focus. Proverbs 13:12. If you don't write down any other scripture, write down this one today. Proverbs 13:12. Proverbs 13:12. That scripture says this. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. If you lose hope, your heart gets sick. If you lose hope in life, if you lose hope in your marriage, if you lose hope in your kids, if you lose hope, your heart gets sick. You know what the Bible also says? The Bible also says to guard your heart with all diligence, for out of your heart flow the issues of life. And if we lose hope, our heart gets sick. Our heart gets dark. Our heart gets hard. Our heart gets full of bitterness. And then out of that bitter heart or dark heart will flow everything of our life. Our marriage will be bitter. Our relationships will be dark. Everything will be. So you know what? Hope deferred. Don't lose hope, because it affects your heart. And out of the heart flow the issues of life. Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. We were gone last Sunday. We were gone last Sunday because some friends of ours from Colorado, actually Jeb and Gayla Brown, they pastor a church in Colorado. Previous Sunday, church was over. Their 16-year-old son jumped in the pickup and drove out to the country to check some water for the cows. He checked the water. The water was good. As he was coming home, he went to sleep, and he ran off the side of the road, turned the car over, threw him out, and killed him. 16 years old, Blevins Brown. How do you deal with that? Monday. How do you deal with that? But we went to a church service with them Sunday morning. And we did the funeral on Monday. And you know what the Brown family said? Even though Blevins is gone, even though we don't understand, even though we are confused, listen, our hope is in Jesus Christ. Our hope is in a resurrected Savior. Our hope is in the Word of God. Our hope is this, that we may say, see you later, but we're not saying goodbye because we're going to see Blevins again, because our hope is in God. If they can continue to have hope through something like that, can't you and I continue to have hope through the things that we're facing right now? Because God is God and God is on the throne. Do not lose hope. There's hope, Paul says. We're the first to hope, but now you have hope. And then Paul starts talking about salvation. I love to talk about salvation. I love to talk about being saved. Because how many of you know, if we have nothing else to hope in and we have nothing else to rejoice for, how many of you are thankful that you're saved today? Come on, somebody. See, I know, but I like the old school church, because the old school church would get fired up when you start talking about being saved. They get fired up when you start talking about the blood of Jesus Christ. They get fired up. Revival would break out when you start preaching salvation. When you start talking about how far the Lord has brought you from, and when you start talking about being forgiven of all of your sins, and you start talking about being a new creation in Christ Jesus, everybody used to get fired up about being saved. Sometimes we take our salvation for granted. We get saved and we make it about everything else in life. Paul says, let's talk about salvation a little bit. Ephesians 1:13, he says, in him, in Jesus, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, we believed in him and we were sealed with the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you how salvation starts out? How you got saved and how I got saved? First thing happened is we heard the truth. We heard the truth. How you know the Bible says we shall know the truth and the truth shall set us free. We were living a life of bondage. We were living a life full of lies. We were living a life and sin had us shackled to the past, and we heard the truth. And the truth is this, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The truth is we can't work our way back to God. The truth is we don't deserve God. The truth is we are unworthy. But the truth is also this, that God sent his only begotten son to die on the cross to purchase us out of the hands of the enemy and bring us back into relationship with God and promise us eternal life. The first thing that happened when we got saved is we knew the truth. My sin has separated me from God. Truth. We don't like to talk about truth. Truth is being attacked in America. Truth is being attacked. And can I tell you something? Sometimes the truth hurts. Can I hear a good amen? The truth hurts. Harry Truman, one of the presidents of the United States of America, said one time, people always say I'm giving them hell. He said, I'm not giving them hell. I'm just telling them the truth, and they think it's hell. Truth can be hard. God has called you and I to live in the truth. God has called you and I to live in the truth. And there is a culture in the Christianity in America today that we won't stand for absolute truth, because if we stand for truth, if we stand for hard truth, the other side will label us as bigots. They'll label us as people of hate. They'll label us as conservatives. And we don't like to be at war with the people of this world. Truth. We have to stand for truth, because I'm telling you, y'all, if we don't stand for truth, you and me, if we don't stand for truth in what we believe, if we don't stand for truth on social media, if we don't stand for truth with our children, if we don't stand for truth in the people that we work at, we will be sending a mixed message to them, and we'll be living a lie, and we'll be leading them down a path that doesn't lead them to salvation but leads them to a life of bondage and hell. You and I, we've been called to be salt and light. You and I have been changed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Light brings change. Salt brings change. And if we don't stand for the truth, we are not bringing about change in this world. And we've raised a bunch of mealy mouth. Can I preach to you? Mealy mouth, politically correct, emasculated men and women in the church that are afraid to stand for the truth because we're afraid we'll be labeled as conservatives. Can I tell you something? If you and I live a life that is contrary to the truth, and we send a message to our children that's contrary to the truth, we are shackling our children and sending them to a path of hell. And you know what the Bible says? We're becoming a stumbling block. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says if we become a stumbling block to little children, it is better off that we have a big rock tied around our neck and we be cast in the sea and be drowned. It's time that we wake up in America and quit playing some religious, political, cultural game. It's time that we stand up for the truth that set us free and for the truth that changed our life and for the truth that this nation was founded on. It's time we stand up for truth in spite of the consequences. When we hear the truth, we will receive salvation. We heard the truth and we believed in Christ. That's the gospel. You know what the gospel, you know what it requires to be saved? Repentance and faith. That's the truth. Repentance and faith. Truth is, I'm convicted. Truth is, I'm a sinner. And here's what it takes. Turn from my sin and my selfish ways and put my faith in Jesus Christ. That's all salvation takes. That's all it gets right there. Turn from your sins. You say, Cody, wait a minute. What is sin? See, we don't like to talk about this either. What is sin today? What is sin today? Sin today is the same thing it was in the 50s, is the same thing it was in the 20s, is the same thing it was in the 1800s. Sin is the same thing that it was in biblical times. Sin is anything that is contrary to the Word of God. The Word of God. See, here's what happens. Can I preach to y'all second service? Each generation wants to change what's sin and what's not sin. Each generation wants to change the Word of God. This generation says this, but oh no, we want to change it in this generation, and we want to change it in this generation. No, no, no. Do you realize if sin could change, if the Bible could change, if moral character can change, it would be an absolute wreck? There is a moral character, and there is something that we go by, and it is the everlasting, ever-breathed, inspired Word of Almighty God. And if it was good enough for this generation, it's good enough for our generation. Sin is anything that goes against the Word of God. And we live in this culture of hot air Christians that say they justify divorce, they justify their gay lifestyle, they justify abortion, they justify all these things. Even though they know it goes against the Word of God, they want to justify it and change it and say, oh, I'm not living in sin. This is God's will. Listen to me. Look, look, look. God's will never contradict God's Word. The will of God will never contradict the Word of God. You want to know what's sin? Then open up the Word of God. Trust the Holy Spirit to speak to you and convict you, because sin is what's in the Word of God. And if you choose sin, then here's what the Word says. The wages of sin are death. We have to trust the Word of God. What's in the Word of God? Salvation comes from truth, repentance, turning and having faith in God. At that moment, your life has changed forever. And at that moment, there should be some motivation to go, I'm going to live from God from now on. I'm going to live for Him. I'm going to honor Him. After He brought me from such a mighty long way, I'm not going to play any games. After He picked me up out of the miry clay and set my feet on the rock to stay, I'm going to give Him everything I'm got. I'm not going to be halfway. I'm not going to coast. I'm not going to be in the middle playing some kind of game. After all that God has done for me, I'm going to run to the cross of Jesus Christ and serve Him with passion and with everything I've got. We have hope in Jesus. We have salvation in Jesus Christ. There's salvation comes from no other. And at the moment of salvation, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead comes and is sealed, deposited into us. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Now, let me tell you something about sealed. That's biblical kind of language, and it meant a lot in biblical times, more so then than it does now. Back then, they didn't have text messages. They didn't have internet. They didn't have emails. They didn't have the postal, United States Postal Service. They didn't have envelopes that you could lick it, stick it, and seal it and send it to somebody. So a king would often write letters to his neighboring friends, and the king would write letters. He would fold that paper up, and in order to seal it so that no one could read it, he would melt some wax between where the pages overlap, and then he would have a signet. He would have a ring that had his name or his initials or his crown on it. And when the wax sealed the paper, he would seal it with that ring. Obvious to everyone, this is written by this certain king or written by this certain person. So when you received it, it was easily recognizable that this came from the king. Here's the deal. When you and I get saved by faith, when we hear the truth and when we accept Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, comes and he seals us. And so when you get saved, there should be an obvious change in your life. When you get saved and it's really, really for real, everyone should be able to look at you and see the mark of the King of Kings and should know that you belong to Jesus. There is this. Can I preach to y'all today? There is this ideology in the American church and Christianity that I can come to Jesus and I can get saved, but I don't have to change. It is a lie from the pit of hell. We always say this to the church, come as you are, absolutely come as you are, but if you meet Jesus, you can't stay as you are. You're changed forever. When we get saved and sealed by the Holy Spirit, everyone should look at us and we should begin to produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We should begin to resemble the character of God. There should be an obvious change in our lifestyle and in our thought process. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Sealed means we're protected. I want to take a minute and explain this to you. This sealing of the Holy Spirit, it assures us that we belong to Jesus. Religious, self-righteous people hate the doctrine of being sealed by the Holy Spirit. Lukewarm Christians love the doctrine of being sealed by the Holy Spirit. Because what happens when we are sealed? How many of you ever, grandmama or mama, made peach preserves? Come on, somebody. And you sealed the preserves in the mason jar. You had to heat them up in the water. You cooked them. You poured them in there. You heated the lids. You put them on. You screwed it down tight, and it sealed, and it preserved them so they wouldn't go rotten. When the seal of the Holy Spirit comes upon us, it preserves us. And the reason that the religious, self-righteous people don't like the doctrine of being sealed is because they believe every day it's about performance. I got to do this, and I got to do that, and I got to go here, and I got to give. And if I keep doing, and if I keep serving, and if I keep showing myself good, then I'm protected, and I'll receive salvation someday. They make it all about their works. The reason that lukewarm Christians love the doctrine of being sealed, because they go, it don't matter what I do, I'm sealed. I said the prayer, I got dunked in the water, I can still sleep with her, I can still drink this, I can still gossip with that. Both of those are fallacy, and both of them are a lie. We are sealed and we are protected by the Holy Spirit. And you know what that says to born-again believers like you and I? That we have the blessed assurance that Jesus is ours. Because what happens is, God said, I'm going to seal you. God said, I'm going to deposit some of the Holy Spirit into you to guarantee you that you belong to me. And that what happens then is we wake up every day and we go this. This is not about my performance, and it's not about my seal. It's about the blood and the Holy Spirit. And we wake up every day and we go, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. This day, I'm going to wake up. This day, that's my Father. This day, now I'm going to live for him. It wakes up and it gives us the assurance and the confidence to live every day life to glorify God. We're sealed because some people, I pray for you. I pray for people all the time. They go, man, I screwed up. I need to get saved again. No, you only get saved once, y'all. One time, the washing of the blood. You may stumble, you may fall, you may make some mistakes, but you know what? You're under the umbrella of the grace of Almighty God, and where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Step back up, repent once again, run back to God. He'll seal you and protect you and guard you one more time. Assurance. Like when Mike, I love my kids. They ain't perfect. And what if Will messed up? And I go, adios. What if Clara's 12? She's a little girl. What if she messed up and went against my will and didn't do what I told her to do? And I go, oh, sorry, you're screwed. Adios. Out of this house, off of this property. I ain't buying you nothing. I ain't loving you no more. You're done. Clara has the assurance that I'm her daddy and Jennifer's her mama. And she knows that we're going to love her through it all. And because of the love that we give to her, it motivates her to want to be obedient to us and do what we've asked her to do. That is the same kind of relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father. I am assured that I have been adopted into the family of God. He is my Father. I am His Son. And you know what? That motivates me to want to be obedient and bless Him and honor Him in everything that I do. Blessed assurance. It gives us assurance every day. Let me say this. What if we woke up every day and went, oh my gosh, I got to do this. I got to pray. I got to read the Bible. I have to pray this long. I have to do this. I have to cook a meal for this bunch. What if every day all we had to do was try to perform to God and try to be good enough? That would bring fear and worry and anxiety and doubt, and it would not be any kind of healthy relationship. Connor, come help me close, please. The Holy Spirit seals us, and it gives us the assurance. Like the old hymn we used to sing at Wiley Baptist Church, out of the Broadman Hymnal, number 312. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. I'm blessed because I have the assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I'm an heir of salvation, purchase of God. I'm born of His Spirit, and I'm washed in His blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Here's the bottom line today. Hope is where it's at. Don't lose hope. 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 Get your eyes fixed on God. If your eyes are fixed on God, you have hope, not only in this life, but for all eternity. If you're not saved today, if you've never given Christ, given your life to Christ, and you want to receive salvation, you know what it requires? Repentance and faith in God. That's it. That's it. That's it. By faith, we're saved through grace. It's the gospel. It's the good news that we don't do it, that He did it. Upon salvation, sealed by the Holy Spirit. Some of you, you've been living your life every day wondering if you're saved, wondering if you're going to make it, wondering if you're good enough. Listen, you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. It's not about you, it's about Him. He protects us and He keeps us. I'm going to ask you all to stand on your feet and then we'll close. Father, we love You. We thank You for today, for this time, for this moment, for every person that's here. Lord, I pray that You would pour out the spirit of hope in this place. For those that have hopelessness, for those that have lost hope, that are struggling right now, let hope arise and let our enemies be scattered. Let us have an expectation of a great future because You're God and You're in control. You hold tomorrow. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but You hold tomorrow, and that gives us hope. Lord, let us rejoice and let us have joy in our salvation. That we've been saved, we've been born again. And if we've stumbled, if we've fallen, get back up and run to the cross. Repent. Believe in Christ and be motivated once again. And finally, Lord, thank You that You've sealed us, protected us, guarded us, secured us. Thank You for blessed assurance. Speak to us as we close in worship today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, let's sing like we love the Lord.